Good. Thank you, Bob, for leading. It is easy to memorize the words to the chorus, though. All right, you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. As Bob mentioned earlier, that'll be the passage that we'll be studying this morning. One announcement I failed to mention is if some of you young guys would like to help set up the platform after this service to set up for the baptismal, that would be appreciated. If you enjoy lifting heavy slabs that are covering the baptismal tank, we'll use your help. Luke chapter 2. I appreciate Christmas for the focus it brings on certain aspects of God's character, what God is like. We recently, just a month and a half ago, finished our study on the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, there is a focus on that aspect of God, of his hatred of sin, his judgment and wrath against sin. And that is a large focus. Now, you see other aspects of God, his other aspects of his character, his attributes are very present there as far as his love and his mercy. But there's a real emphasis on the wrath of God being poured out on the world. And it's easy when you focus on certain aspects of God's character to become lopsided in your understanding of who God is and what he is like. Even though we know there's so much more to God than, you know, that attribute we're focused on, you can start to be, you know, have an emphasis in your mind on only one aspect of God, just his anger at sin, his wrath and his judgment. And though those things are very real, there's more to the character of God. Everything has to be taken together regarding God's character. And the true Christmas story, the real focus of Christmas, rather than Santa Claus, which is the birth of Jesus Christ, brings out and brings into focus some of the other aspects of the character of God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to zero in on one description of God found in the Christmas story as recorded in Luke 2. We're really going to focus not even just on one verse, Luke 2:14. We're going to focus really on one word this morning. And you can see that word in the title, God's Christmas Goodwill. We have a God who has good will towards men. I'm going to read a section of the story, a shorter section than Bob read, just to bring it back into mind, the portion of the Christmas story we're looking at. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I've focused on peace in previous years, and so I thought it would be good to focus on that phrase, goodwill towards men. We want to begin this morning, or I guess we've already begun, but begin with the first point, which is goodwill defined. And goodwill is a compound word both in the English and in the Greek. All right, it's a compound word in both aspects. And a compound word is just two words that can stand alone, but they're put together. All right, toothbrush. right? A brush for your teeth. And so we call it a toothbrush. That would be a compound word. Playground, all right? An area where the focus is on playing, all right? Kids love the playground. Well, here we see in the English the obvious compound word is good and will, all right? Good and will. Two, it's a good intention. God's good plan is maybe what we would think of. The Greek, and it's a good translation, so I'm not going to say, oh, we're going to get into the Greek so you understand what this is saying. But the Greek word is very similar. It's a compound word which is translated good or well. So when that word stands alone in our Greek, in our New Testament, it's translated good or sometimes well, all right? And so it's the same as goodwill, same first part of the word. The second part of the word in the Greek is used quite frequently, and it's almost always translated think or thought. It's also translated into words like suppose. You can see where suppose has to, it's the conclusions of your mind. I suppose, that this is the conclusion, this is my thinking. It also account, and account as in far, I'm counting it up in my mind. I'm coming to the conclusion, the sum of the matter, all right? And so you see it's good and thinking. It's a combination of like good thoughts or good thinking. God has good thinking, good intention towards men. That's the meaning of the or, as it's translated, good will. His thoughts are directed in a good way towards mankind. Well, I've listed in your outline some of the other uses of those words, so you can look at those and you can turn to them if you'd like, and I listed them out so you wouldn't necessarily have to scramble through, but you've got the list and you can look at them later. The first two uses of this word that we'll look at are parallel passages in Matthew and Luke. And in Matthew 11:26 and in Luke 10:21, I'm just going to read the phrase from those verses that is relevant. And it said, "Even so, for it seemed good in your sight." So in that verse, the word is just translated one word, good. It seemed good in your sight. All right? And you understand, he was talking about why you've revealed, these truths to, simple, lowly people. And it seemed good in your sight. It was good thinking. It was a good purpose in your mind. It was God's good thought to do it this way. That's what was behind his plan in those verses. Romans 10:1. In this verse, this is Paul writing about his goodwill, all right? And he's talking about the nation of Israel, and he writes this, "Brethren, my heart's desire," that's our word, "my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." You see, that's how that makes sense. He says, "Brethren, it is my good thinking towards Israel that they would be saved." It is his good intention, his good will, his good desire, the thoughts of his mind towards Israel. He desires that they would be saved. Same word. It makes sense. My heart's good thoughts and intentions is that Israel would all be saved. All right? Good. You see that. He has good will towards Israel. Paul's thoughts. Here's another. I listed these three verses together, four verses. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 9, Philippians 2:13, and 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Because these verses are translated good pleasure. In Ephesians 1:5, It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. I actually would prefer goodwill or some of these other translations to good pleasure, because when I think it makes more sense, because it is according to the good intentions, the good will, the good thoughts of God and of his will. That's why in Ephesians 1:5 talks about how we are chosen, elect in God, and saved all through faith in Jesus Christ, all into the blessings upon those who would trust in him. This is all according to the good intentions, the good thoughts of his will. And I'm not saying good pleasure is a bad word, but it makes more sense. It's easier to understand in my mind when I think of that good thought or that good intention, good will. God has good thoughts and good intentions. And then Philippians 1:15, we won't go there. It's translated again the same as in Luke 2, good will. And so as you understand the word, that it is of two parts. Number one, it is good. All right. God is his. This is important because he's not just thinking about man. He has good thoughts. He just doesn't have a purpose, a will, a plan for man. He has a good plan. All right, and so the good is important, as well as you understand that it is his thinking, it is his thought, it is desire, his intent. All right, and so now let's go to our passage back in Luke chapter 2 and examine what are God's good thoughts, good intentions, good will towards man in this verse. First of all, we see in the verse, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. All right? The goodwill is towards men. First of all, it's just the point that we are celebrating the birth of the man, Jesus Christ. We are celebrating the birth of God with us, the Son of God, but the focus is on man. This is God coming so that man can see him, God in the flesh. It's also man, because the goodwill is going to be, it's going to be very necessary that Jesus is a man, because he's saving man. This is about the salvation of mankind, not angels. It's not about, there's a lot of angels in the story, but the goodwill isn't towards angels. The goodwill isn't towards the sheep, that the shepherds, you know, it's not towards the animals of this world. It is towards men. And second of all, we see not only this goodwill, this good thought, this good intent is towards men, it's towards all men. He says in our verse 14, it says goodwill towards men in general. So you see, it's just general. This is goodwill towards mankind. It's more specific if you go back up to the first message of the angel when he was alone in verse 10. He says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All right? The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ shows the good thoughts of God towards all mankind. We see that elsewhere in the scriptures. He makes the rain to fall on the good, the wicked, the good and the wicked, the good and the evil. He has good intentions. He does good to all men. And the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a blessing that is given to all mankind. It demonstrates the goodness of God and his thoughts, his intentions for all mankind. And then thirdly, in order to follow the pattern, it's goodwill towards adversarial men. Men who are his enemies. And I just had to follow the pattern of having an adjective for men there. But it's goodwill towards his enemies, men that are his enemies. They're adversaries. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Maybe you don't need to turn there because you have a memorized. This is just one of the most, at least in my mind, one of the most familiar passages on the gospel and on the Lord sending his son into the earth to die for our sins. I'm going to read Romans 5, verses 8 through 11. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So there we see the term sinners, all right? These are those who have transgressed against God. Verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, that remember justified, made righteous, declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, there's the word, adversaries. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, that would go back to the message of peace on earth. It's goodwill towards men. God made a way for us to be reconciled, to have peace with God. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. All right, that verse highlights the fact that when God's goodwill, that the angels are glorifying God for, God's goodwill was when to mankind who were the enemies of God. He had good intentions, good thoughts, not just towards man, but man that was opposed to him. Man that had sinned and rebelled and was antagonistic, were enemies of God. That's when his goodwill was demonstrated and shown to mankind. Jesus was born, and then he died, and then he rose again to reconcile enemies to God, to make peace with the enemies, a way for there to be peace between the enemies of God and God. Peace between sinners and God. That is some pretty good thinking, good thoughts, good intentions towards mankind. We see the goodwill, the good intentions of God towards men right away in creation. Remember, everything was good, first of all. You see his goodness just in his creation. Everything was good. But remember what one tree he said, Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree. I don't even want you to know evil is a thing. That was his good intention. I don't even want you to have to know about evil. I don't even want you to have to know this that there is evil and what it is and it exists and all this. That's pretty good intention. Don't we wish we could go back to that? Wouldn't that be awesome to go back to not even having any grasp or understanding of evil? Because we've all experienced it. We've all participated in it. We're all included in the group that was enemies of God. That's a good intention. But at the same time, we know a lot about God that we give him glory for. We know that he is a God who reconciles, who has good intentions even towards sinners. And don't take this sermon as to say there's no wrath of God. We just went through the book of Revelation. But God makes a way for sinners to be reconciled. That's his good intentions. He had good intentions even from the very beginning. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, what did he do? He sought them out in the garden, right? It's not like when God was asking Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" It's not because he didn't know, not because he didn't know they were hiding. He's like, "Okay, you know, I'm still coming down to the garden." He didn't just hold out the hand. "You're not talking to me anymore." You know, he went down. He sought them out, right? He went and found them. They couldn't hide. You can't hide from God. And he went and sought them out and had a conversation with them and told them that someday Satan, the one who had led them into rebellion against God, that Satan would be crushed. He gave them that hope, that promise. He said, you're ashamed because now you know of evil and you're naked and ashamed, and God made them clothing. That's good intentions. That's goodwill towards man. He clothed them. He provided a covering for that which they were ashamed of. And you can see a picture of the sacrifice system there, where sins were covered through the sacrifices of animals. They couldn't take away sin, but they were covered until the real sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ was born and came into the world so that he could be the real sacrifice. So all throughout, starting at the beginning all the way to the end, you see God's goodwill, God's good intention towards man. And here it culminates in him sending his son. It all peaks in this baby being wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, in the lowly manger. They're not even, no hospital, not even a home, not even a hotel. But he was brought into the world in a stable, laid in a manger, all so that he could come and as man pay for the sins of mankind. So he could take their place under the wrath of God, being punished for the sins Jesus himself had never committed. Jesus the Savior being born is a testament to the good thoughts and intentions of God towards mankind. Goodwill in this verse, in this passage, demonstrated by God in sending his son into the world. God's good intentions for us. How do we respond to that? And this, we'll conclude with this, it'll be basically our conclusion. We see the goodwill, the good thoughts, the good intention of God towards man. He has good intention towards mankind. How do we respond to that? Well, the first one is obviously not an answer of how you should respond to it. It is how many do respond to the goodwill of God. They reject it. They reject the goodwill of God for many reasons. Some it's just lack of interest. Just, I don't care. I'm not worried about it. I am who I am, and I don't need any help, and they're just not interested in God's goodwill towards them. Some it's just they don't understand it. They look at the world around us and the evil and all the horrible things that happen to mankind and attribute the responsibility not to man who made the choice. Back in Adam and Eve, and we've all made the choice since, we've all sinned and make the choice to say, yeah, we'll take the curse. We'll believe the lie of Satan. Sometimes it's deception. Sometimes it's like Adam, where it's just like, well, I'm going this direction, says the scriptures in 1 Timothy. Says Adam was not deceived. Adam wasn't tricked. Sometimes we just say, well, I'm choosing this direction. And I don't care. This is the direction I'm going. So when you see the goodwill of God, the response of so many is to reject it. Lack of interest. Unbelief. That can't be true. It can't be that easy. I got to do it myself. It can't be that easy. Someone else took my place. And some, it's just because we're enemies of God. And enemies fight against God. Doesn't matter whether he has good intention or goodwill or not. So many reasons for rejecting the goodwill of God. Hopefully, this of these four responses, that is not your response to the goodwill of God, to the gospel. The gospel that Jesus Christ came to earth to die on the cross and he paid for your sins. He suffered in your place. He took the wrath of God the Father for your evil and your wickedness. and you can accept that exchange in faith and be reconciled to God, have peace with God. That's what this Christmas story is all about. You can accept it. You can receive this goodwill. Remember the verse that I focused on for the Christmas dinner. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. This is a goodwill towards God, but it must be received, and so many reject it. I hope you've received it. A second response, rejoicing. We see that in the passage. I mean, the angels and the shepherds both show us how to respond to the good intentions, the good thoughts of God towards mankind. And the angels, it's not even directed at them. They're just rejoicing and to see this amazing and incredible attribute of God, his good thoughts towards man. Look in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. All right, they're giving glory to God in the heavens, glory to God in the highest, all glory to, we sang in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest, that's what it means, and they were giving glory to God. Look at how the shepherds responded in verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That's one of the responses. That should be the response when you see God has goodwill towards you. God has good intentions, good thoughts towards you. Rejoicing. Rejoicing like the angels, rejoicing like the shepherds, giving glory to God and praising him. And then I skipped the second point. Obviously, reception, to believe in Jesus as your Savior. So you don't reject him, receive him, rejoice. And then the third one is repeating. And this is one of the few times I actually alliterated some points and kept them all ours for you. But repeating God's goodwill. Part of that would be repeating it as in sharing with others. Do you know God has good intentions towards you? That is the gospel. That is the good news. God has something good intended, planned towards you. I hope you don't reject it. I hope you receive it. And then thirdly, how about repeating, remember we're created in the image of God. We're to reflect Jesus Christ. We're to reflect the Father. We're to be godly or Christ-like. What's your goodwill towards men like? What are your thoughts and intentions towards mankind? Do you even think about others with any intentions? Or are you consumed with your good intentions towards yourself? All right? That's why God says to love one another as you love yourself. All right? You have good intentions towards yourself. Even if you're unhappy because you're carrying too much weight, or maybe you don't think you're as beautiful or handsome as you should be, or strong, you know, why? Because you have good intentions. You have better intentions than that for yourself. I want to be amazing in every attribute of myself, right? We have good intentions towards ourselves. Have good intentions towards others. Have good thoughts. What is your goodwill? What are your thoughts and intents towards others? And do you have thoughts and intentions that are with the purpose to act upon them? God just didn't have good thoughts. He sent his son. The entire rejoicing and celebration of this event is because God's good intentions were revealed and demonstrated, and you could see it. There was proof. There was evidence. It wasn't just a good thought, you know, hidden in his heart towards men, but he never did anything about it. It was a good intention that led to action. And so what are your thoughts and intents towards others? Do you have a purpose to act upon them? even if they're enemies. Remember how we started? He had goodwill towards all men, and all men who were adversarial, his adversaries, who were his enemies. You know, you can have good intentions, and you start getting into the definition of love, seeking the highest good of another, and that's goodwill. It's seeking a good purpose, good thoughts towards, and it even includes enemies. God had a plan and good intentions for his enemies, that they could be reconciled to him if they would receive the gospel. And then thirdly, or fourthly, I don't know what number I'm on here under this application, but how about your goodwill towards God? Do you have good thoughts and intentions back to the one who had good thoughts and intentions towards you? What are your thoughts towards God, and how is that displayed in your life? Good thoughts about God. Good thoughts about what can I do to and for the God who had such good intentions for me? What are the good intentions, good thoughts I have, can have towards him? And what is that? How can I act that out? God is a God of goodwill towards men. And we should be characterized by goodwill back towards God and towards men, because then we're representing God. Then we are living out being created in his image. Then we are being Christ-like. Christ, remember when he lived that out, he sought everything to be glorifying to God. I only do the things that please my Father. I do every word I speak is the words my Father wants me to speak. Good thoughts and intentions towards God. Christmas should bring out goodwill in you towards others, because you recognize the Christmas story, which is the goodwill of God towards us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodwill. We thank you that when we were enemies, that you had these thoughts, these plans, this goodwill towards us, and you sent your Son. Like the angels, like the shepherds, we can only say, what a glorious thing. What a wonderful God you are to have these kinds of thoughts, so that you could send your Son, so that you could reconcile us, so that we could have peace with you as our God. What a good plan. And we thank you at this time of year, especially as we celebrate how that plan was revealed on the earth by these angels, how that plan was worked out through Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and all these events, that you showed your plan, your good intentions to save, to reconcile mankind with you, and we rejoice with them. Lord, help us to be like you. May the thoughts and intentions of our hearts match yours. Help us to do these things. In Jesus' name, amen.